Welcome back to Leaps and Hounds, our dog training podcast, and it is the last episode in series two. Where has that time gone? I just don't know. Chris Glover is here, as always, our dog behaviour expert here at the Dogs Trust. She will be the one answering your questions because you've been getting in touch this series. It's all about you asking your questions if you've got dog behaviour issues. So thank you to all of you that have got in touch. And we've got Chris's dogs here, beautifully behaved, as always. Maggie and Tink just curled up, peacefully sleeping.
Very sleepy.
Oh, you have done well, Chris. It's been great, this series, actually. We've covered so many different
really
options, haven't we?
It. It's questions. So nice. It's so nice getting questions in as well, which is incredible, because it means that we can answer the questions that everybody needs answers to.
Absolutely. Making sure that people get the best out of their dogs. We've got one here from Grant. He says, as soon as he opens the door, his dog bolts out with no control, barking madly. What is your advice for Grant, Chris? And I know a lot of people have this sort of situation, don't they, where at the door, their dog's very excited, aren't they, about going out, what's going to be out there. Maybe that's why they're barking as a kind of excitement or warning.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I think, firstly, what we've got to just sort of check is this is the back door. I'm assuming it's the back door. I'm hoping it's not the front door. If it is the front door, we just need to put an extra barrier in.
Right.
Because obviously getting out into the front is a lot more risky than getting out into your back garden.
So that's a big no-no. Don't let your dog ever rush out the front. So you would have to have something there to stop them doing
that. Definitely, definitely. And I know it's very difficult when we've got open plan houses, but things like dog gates or just shutting a door to make before you open the front door, because it is hard. Sometimes somebody suddenly surprises us at the front door. We open the front door, we've forgotten to shut the dog behind another door. So baby gates tend to be a little bit easier to do. But anyway, so we're going to assume it's not the front door. It's to do with the back door. I think there's incredible amounts of excitement that can be induced from being out in the garden. So I have a fence line where squirrels run up and down. My dogs, when they spot it, they're like,
tempting.
I want to go out and chase that squirrel. Cats will know when there's dogs inside and they're safe outside. So they might sit on the fence post and watch the dog.
Taunt the dog from a distance.
And the dog goes, I need to go out and I need to chase. I think sometimes we generate a lot of excitement through opening the back door. Because if the dog's sort of there waiting, we tend to be in a rush to open the back door
as well.
Or you're
saying, go on outside, go
out. Yeah. And it's great. Because if they've just woken up in the morning and they're desperate to go out for a wee, maybe that some of the excitement is driven by they just need to be out. But they might run around the garden. There could be some pigeons flying around, as we've talked about the squirrels, talked about the cats as well. So there's lots of interesting stuff out in the garden. The only time that dogs tend to be a bit more subdued is if they're dogs that don't like wet weather, like Tink, and then they might be a bit more hesitant about going out if it's raining. But what we need to do is first just try and, if we can, if it's not for a need as in a toilet need, just try and calm a little bit of that excitement by the door. So maybe doing a little bit of training round the door, which isn't at the time when they desperately want to go out, where we just do a little sit so we can lure them up with a little treat under the nose, just bring it up slowly. They will sit. As soon as we get a sit, we just say, wait, and give them a little treat. So we're basically pairing the action of the treat coming up with the bottom going down. And then because they're not moving out position, we're then pairing the word wait with just them being pausing for a couple of seconds, and then we could slowly open the door. We could go through first, so we could go through the door, so then we're throwing a couple of treats behind us back into the house, so the dog is sort of almost yo-yoing back and forth. It might be that we throw a couple of treats out through the back door, so although that's still that excitement going out, they're pausing to get that treat. Mm-hmm. We could equally put some activity toys or food toys just by the back door. So again, we just slow that dog down a little bit, reduce some of that arousal and that excitement. And equally, we could put some lick mats or food toys or just a little tiny bit of food outside the back door, so that again, as they go out, they've got something else to be doing rather than generating even more excitement by racing towards the end of the garden.
Okay, so it just might take a bit of time practicing that in and out of the door, mightn't it, to sort of get the best etiquette, the best manners when you open
absolutely
a door, that they're not
absolutely
just bombing straight out.
Definitely.
And what about the barking situation then? And, you know, if they're barking madly every time you let them out the door, your neighbours might not be quite so understanding, might they, about that?
I agree. And I think the other thing I did forget to mention that might work as well, that sometimes when dogs are put on a lead, it might be that this particular dog walks beautifully on the lead and is a lot calmer. So maybe we could use that lead in a way to encourage a little bit of that calmness. So maybe by just disallowing that rushing, that running, because we know that increases the excitement, we might want to just pop dog on lead, walk out, do a little bit of loose lead walking.
So even
training.
In the back garden, doing that.
Absolutely.
And then that just helps them calm them down.
Yeah,
and they might not need to do it the whole time, but it's just
absolutely that.
Giving them that reminder that actually that's the behaviour you want.
Yeah. And just being mindful, just thinking about things like, is the cat outside? Is the squirrel likely to run across? Is there already pigeons on the garden? Is there anything that might encourage our dog to want to rush out through that door even more quickly? Again, we can't do anything. If the dog's desperate to go to the toilet, we need to let them out as soon as possible. I think the lead thing could be quite good, because as I say, anything when they're exercising and they're running, that's increasing that sort of excitement. So we just want to just quieten them a little bit.
Mm. So that's the excitement. Is there anything then that you can do about the barking, or does it depend why they're barking?
So with the barking, if it's a situation where they just want to rush out into the garden, it's likely that the barking is a result of that excitement. So they get out there, they see the bird or they see the squirrel, they see the cat and they bark at it. So they want to get the bird off the garden, they want to get the squirrel, they want to chase the squirrel across the fence, or they want to get the cat out of the garden. So the barking tends to be associated with the chase a little bit.
So hopefully if you can take the heat and the excitement out of going out, that might calm that situation.
Definitely. So that's really, really good. Again, probably just thinking about being considerate to your neighbours and considering the time that you might let your dogs out. So if they're more likely to bark first thing in the morning, can we slightly delay the going out into the garden time from maybe 6:30 to 7:30, just to make that a little bit easier? If we're out in the garden with them, can we interrupt the barking by maybe getting them to catch a tree or catch a ball or do something that just limits the barking?
So could you then think, right, I know that they have a tendency to bark as soon as they go out, you know, shall I think of some things that I can do with them to distract them in that very early stages? So they're not thinking about the birds, the squirrel or the cats, but actually they're thinking, yes, they're going to throw a ball for me or something else is going to happen.
Yeah, and anything that slows them down. So ball play, in theory, you know, if I go out into the garden with them, might just continue to rev them up. But put in a lick mat or a destruction box or something, just as they go out where they've got to sort of ferret through to get a tiny piece of food, en route to going into the garden, might just slow them down. And as soon as we can get that thinking brain being used, the emotional brain, so the excitement brain, tends to calm down a little bit.
Mm. So is there anything you can do if you've got a dog that does like to bark at things, though? Because there are going to be times where you just need to let them out and you'll be getting on with things and then you let them back in again.
Yeah.
You know, it's birds, squirrels, cats, it's stuff on their territory, isn't it, in a sense, that it serves a purpose, because it's either saying, you know, stay out of here because this is my patch, or it's saying I'm going to come after you or whatever, but there's a reason why your dog's barking
there
like that, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's a bit like us. If we looked out the window and somebody was standing in our back garden, we'd want to go out and find out why they're there, much like our dogs. They want to get rid of what they perceive to be the intruders or the things that are exciting. So if I run at a bird, it flies, that's quite exciting. Run at the cat, run at the squirrel, they run. Like a little bit like where we talked in previous episode about the cats being chased.
Yes.
Dogs quite like things that move fast, so they would chase. So that generates excitement.
So is there anything
anyway
you can try in that scenario?
So, yeah, I think, again, it's probably just about accompanying them outside and just trying to sort of calm that sort of running. So just slowing the running and just trying to get them focused on something else when they're out in the garden.
Yeah, okay. So again, it's going to be one of those ones where you need to put a bit of effort in to try and limit that. That's going to be the best way, isn't it?
Definitely. And also talking about barking at those things when they're inside, if we've given them sight of those, so if that cat's been sat on the back fence looking at our dog for the last half an hour and then we've come downstairs, the dog's going to think, oh, it's opportunity now. Quickly open that door because he's been sat there for a while. I want to now go out and chase him.
Yeah.
So just by limiting the sight of things that they might be slightly sort of tempted to chase when they're inside, so they can't see them, might also lower that frustration. So if they don't know that the neighbouring cat is out there or the squirrel is up and down the tree, they're going to be a little bit more surprised when they suddenly get outside and see the squirrel. Whereas if they've built up to that, so the last half an hour, they've been witnessing these really exciting things outside, the desperation to get out is going to be incredible.
Building and building and building, isn't it? OK, let's talk. I mean, that was a bit about, you know, the backdoor scenario. Again, that front door etiquette. What can you do to practice that? Because there are going to be visitors coming to your house. There are going to be times when you might be going out, loading things in and out the car. Yeah. And, you know, how should you manage the front door and your dog?
Easiest thing is to either have a baby gate or a dog gate, something that's safe that they can't get over, they can't get through and they can't get under. So when she was a tiny puppy with a standard baby gate, she could quite easily walk through it. So just, again, just setting up something that's quite safe. But a baby gate is fairly easy to shut. It shuts usually quite securely. And if we've got a dog that is a titch bit worried about having us going or moving away from them, if you've got a dog that's suffering from separation related behaviour, usually if they can see us, they tend to be a little bit calmer. So I would say, let's not have our dogs at the front door with us, because trying to, even if you've got a dog that's got an incredible stay and they're likely to stay there, if they see something that particularly interests them, they are going to whiz out through that door. We do not want to rely, at the end of the day, dogs are dogs.
You don't
want to
put them at risk,
well.
Do you?
Yeah,
no.
we're not never going to be 100% reliable. So the best thing to do, which is what I've done with both Tink and Maggie, is they've learned that if the door's knocked or if the doorbell's rung, they go into my lounge because I throw a few treats.
So do they do that automatically?
They do it automatically now, and they haven't had treats for a while. I intermittently would throw treats because it's really important to carry on paying them because they're doing the right thing. They're doing the right bit of work. So we want to occasionally sort of pay them, but actually just, as soon as the doorbell goes, they go straight in there, shut the baby
gate.
That's
really interesting. Because the key problem, isn't it, is when people come to the door, dog's way too excited, jumps up. And, you know, I've battled with that for a long time with Bailey, it just kind of encouraging her to put four paws on the ground. Yeah. But actually, sometimes if it is a really exciting situation, maybe it's best off just taking them out of that. Because once the heat's died down a bit, they're going to be a bit more amenable, aren't they, to then saying, right, let's greet visitors in a nice way without leaping up at them.
And I think there's a lot of excitement around that front door. So we're really pleased to see the person that comes in. They're really pleased about seeing us as well. So sometimes the dogs don't get that sort of immediate attention, which possibly they want. So that's why you get that jumping up behaviour or that sort of barking behaviour or trying to interact. So if we can greet our visitors at the front door, and then calmly ask them. And we can also instruct our visitors or ask, not instruct, but ask our visitors how we would like them to greet our dogs. So if we don't want our dogs jumping up, can we just get the visitor to drop a piece of food on the ground to keep them at the level and then stroke them? Would they be comfortable maybe getting down to our dog's level to interact so it prevents that jumping up? Actually, in fact, have we got dogs that even would be comfortable and safe around people? And if that's the fact, then just keeping them out of the way and not never letting them sort of interact with visitors is probably the right thing to do. But we just need them to learn that actually being round the front door and the doorbell goes, it's not as rewarding as being behind the baby gate because that's where they earn their treats.
Good point. And looking at things not to do then, I guess the dog's going to pick up from signals from you. So if they think every time the door goes or every time we go to let them out, we're a bit stressed because we're thinking, oh, what's going to happen here? How's the dog going to react? Then they're picking up on that signal, aren't they?
Yeah. So if we can slow down. Dogs that urgently need to go to the toilet, we can't do that. We just need to let them out. But if we can just slow everything down and just think about how we would like them to go out into the garden. So if we want them to go out a little bit more slowly and have less excitement, are there things we can do to just slow that down by putting a couple of little treats, you know, in the entrance towards the garden so that it just slows them down, allows them to pause a little bit? If it is the fact that they're seeing things out in the garden that's overly exciting them before they've got opportunity to go out, if you can close curtains or shut off access to those rooms, that's going to be hugely helpful.
Good to know. OK, Chris, can you sum up for us then your top tips to how to stop your dog running out of the house, barking every time you open that door.
Definitely. So if we're talking about the front door, I would never rely on having an open front door with a loose dog. So always teach them. If we can't have access or we can't set up a baby gate, have them on a lead every time we go to and open the front door. Otherwise, have them behind a baby gate. We can teach them that as soon as the doorbell rings, that if a piece of food arrives behind the baby gate in a room. And what's happened with Maggie and Tink is they, as soon as they hear the doorbell, the door knock, they go straight in there. Try and slow. So if there's anything that is exciting our dogs before they've got opportunity to go out, let's see if we can just restrict their view of that or their sound of that as well. Just slow them down for going into the garden. So ensure that if they need toilet opportunity, we might be letting them out before they're absolutely desperate to go. And if we can't, maybe just giving them some treat opportunities as they go out into the garden, or some treat opportunities inside might just calm things down. And maybe try just going out with them on the lead as well, just to see whether that just slows them down a little bit, keeps them focused on us, stops them from the barking.
Amazing. Chris, thank you so much for your great advice in this episode and all the episodes. It's been absolutely brilliant. So great to talk to you. Thank you to Maggie and Tink for joining us. They're curled up, snoozing at the moment, aren't they? They've been really well behaved, actually. Beautiful dogs. And a big thank you to you for getting in touch with all your questions, with your dog training queries that we've been answering over the course of this series. We are very grateful to you for supporting, for listening, for watching. And we really hope that all the training tips that we've been giving you will help you to get the very best out of your dog, because that's what we want at the end of the day, to make sure that you make the very best out of your dog and they bring you lots and lots of joy for many years to come. So a big thank you, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Leaps and Hounds is a Nell Media production presented by Charlotte Hawkins with advice from Chris Glover from Dogs Trust. It's produced by Georgie Nell with filming and editing by Gordon Watt and Milton Bowen. The music is composed by Carlos Reba.